Water Dripping in a Dish. Sounds from the City of Kyoto by Maelta Jespersen.
In the evening, on my way home, I hear the sound of the old hand loom from across the street. For decades, the family who lives there has been weaving precious cloth and vestments for Buddhist temples. The clatter of the hand loom echoes through the narrow alleyway. Five narrow grooves have been filed into the fingernail of her right middle finger. The weaver uses them to tighten the gossamer-thin threads in the freshly woven kimono girdle. With her left hand, she guides the shuttle thread by thread. Her most treasured finger, she says, is the one with the grooved nails. It glides over the silk as over harp strings. Nishijin, Kyoto's ancient textile center. The mechanical looms in the kimono weaving mill are so big that the men in front of them look tiny. Hanging above the workers are punch cards several feet long, which are scanned inch by inch. The holes are transformed into pine trees, cranes, clouds, and dragons on the kimono. Two monks were once asked, who or what is Buddha? One replied, the glistening of a drop of water. The other replied, a stick smeared with excrement.
慎みを敬って勘定し、立て祭るなむ解釈憲法一条妙法
Buddha is always with me. Yet sad but true, he is nowhere to be seen. But around dawn, with the sounds of people hushed, he appears dimly in my dreams.
Once a month, Buddhist monks pass through our quarter. There's no hint of begging in their chant as they collect alms, rather, pride. They must have wandered like this centuries ago, wearing round straw hats, faded blue habits, straw sandals on their bare feet, even in winter. Namu Amida Butsu, I call on you, Buddha of the infinite light. Kyoto is not a beautiful city, in spite of its popular Zen gardens and 2,000 temples. It is a permanent construction site full of noise and dirt. Just in time for Kyoto's 1200th year anniversary, the city council rescinded the height restrictions on tall buildings. Now they are permitted to rise above the Buddhist pagodas. Beauty is found in unexpected details. Here, the bamboo facing on a house entrance, roofing tiles in the shape of a fish. There, the shop sign, an egret in the river by the Shijo Bridge. First, I heard only drums and a loudspeaker. Then, garish figures came around the corner in single file, as if from a Fellini movie. A bizarre warrior, a woman dancer in a kimono, a boy in baggy breeches, all wearing layers of makeup. They are Shindong-ya, the classical street advertisers, promoting a newly opened supermarket.
お問い合わせの上、にぎにぎしくご来店、よろしく。
the bizarre parade of the Shindongya, the old tofu vendor's bicycle horn, and the big-mouthed sales patter of the vendors at the Nishiki market. When it comes to attracting customers, they pull out all the stops. The professor of music is annoyed. I told him I thought Kyoto was very noisy. His cool reply? It's just more lively here than in your Germany. So I asked him what he thought of the din in the amusement arcades. He gave me a look of pity, ignorant foreigner that I was. He loves playing pachinko himself. And what I referred to as din, he finds extremely relaxing. The unspoken words of a poem, the vacant space in a picture, or the interval between the beating of the shishiodoshi, they all have something in common. They are more important than what surrounds them. A play on sounds. I discover tones I had no idea existed. Snow falling sounds. The stars twinkle pika pika.
Pika pika no mado no. Kirei na mado. Pika pika.
Dripping water goes potang potang. A touched wall socket bites back. Bidi bidi, and gatang gatang rattle the wheels of the railway train.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will soon make a brief stop at Kyoto. Passengers going to the Tokaido, Sanin, Kosei, Nara, and Kintetsu lines, please change trains here at Kyoto. Thank you.
Ooh.
As a child in Germany, I was awakened by church bells. At 6 a.m. in Kyoto, the Shinto priest Kanushi-san begins the day with his ritual in the shrine. Shinto is the second main religion in Japan, after Buddhism. For Europeans, it is a curious mixture of nature worship, ritual, and folk belief. Shinto priests consecrate trees, rice fields, and department stores. The aged poet could just as easily be deified as the water dripping in a dish. The people who pray in the morning at the small shrine next door are very quiet. At the downtown Yasaka shrine, however, there's no end to the rattling all day.
Silence. The sizzling of the cicadas bores into the rock.
I keep encountering ma, the silence between sounds. Again and again I hear the suspense which a short silence engenders, sometimes to astonishing effect.
Ma,
I must confess, I laughed too. But then I realized that this woman was doing something essentially Japanese. By singing on, regardless of the loose connection, she saved face. Gion, the old entertainment district, is located by the River Kamo. This could have been the reason for the poetic name of Mizu Shobai, literally the water trade. It refers to the floating world of pubs, cabarets, and tea houses. The queens of this shimmering empire, the owners of countless small bars, are tenderly called mama-san by their customers. Endowed with a cheerful disposition and an indestructible liver, they are the solid supporting columns of the Gion. In the world of the water trade, the echoes of two different cultures rebound. Loudly and crudely, the waves of the modern age break against the counters of the bars. But the old Japan, fine and exquisite, is reflected in the silent ponds of the tea houses. I saw the quiet, elegant dance of a young geisha. Her white feet are almost inaudible as they glide across the rice straw mats. But silent ponds splash cheerfully, too. I sat in a temple and listened to the sound of water dripping in a dish. From somewhere, a vacuum cleaner was audible. Next to the temple, a small dog was placed on a table, while its master vacuumed the fleas from its coat.
You've been listening to Water Dripping in a Dish, written, recorded, and produced by Maelte Jespersen for Radio Bremen, Germany, in 1994. The Japanese voices, Akana Hata, Naomi Ota, and Hideo Kitamura. The American narrator was Paul Hecht. Flute by Uwe Welte. This new American radio version was edited and produced by Regina Beyer at the New Radio and Performing Arts Studio in Staten Island, New York, with Helen Thorington, mixing engineer.